I don't know if you know this. Yeah, you probably do. But we are a very performance-oriented people. That's not all bad. But we live very much by cause and effect. If I do this, then this happens. You know, like basically everything we do is performance-oriented. And in one sense, and again, this isn't like necessarily a bad thing, but we're very conditional people. You know, we talk a lot in the Christian faith about agape love, this unconditional love. But we're very conditional people. I know I always like to pump myself up in my own brain and think, you're a good guy, Lee. You love your wife very unconditionally. And then I realize how often I just don't do that. Like, I'm like, well, I did the dishes last night in my head, right? These are the conversations. I'm sure you don't have these conversations in your head, but I have these conversations in my head. Like, well, I did the dishes last night. Why don't you do them tonight? You know, like, I always pick up everything. Why don't you pick it up, right? Like, we're very conditional people. And we know it, and it's not for all bad reasons, that if we do something or we don't do something, we either will or will not get something in return. Let me give you a few examples. You are going to naturally expect when you get a job that when you go to work and work, that when it's time for paycheck, you're going to get a paycheck, right, adults here? You expect that. Is that correct? And that is not a bad thing, right? We expect that. For those of you that play sports, like, you expect if you practice hard, then generally you're going to play well in the game. That's going to kind of equal out there. You, especially you brainiacs, you really believe like, man, if I study hard, I will get a good grade. And that usually happens. There's a cause and there's an effect there. You believe, you know, if you pass the learner's test, then you're going to get your permit, right? That's cause and effect. Here's one, though, that we expect. Like, we expect this. We expect that if we're nice to someone, we expect them to be nice back, right? We expect if we get sick, we'll take medicine and we'll feel better. We just live it's very conditional. We're very conditional oriented, cause and effect, kind of performance oriented. And there are certain things that we have a general control over, that if we do something, they will happen. And again, that's not all bad, but I just want us to get that picture, this basis of what I'm going to talk about tonight, is to understand that we're very conditional people. We're very cause and effect oriented. Now, without some understanding of cause and effect or kind of this transactional way of living, we wouldn't be able to function. Like I said, our jobs, we have to expect we're going to go to work, that we're going to get paid. I mean, that's what our economy is based on. So again, it's not all bad. And really, you know what a lot of that comes down to? It comes down to a trust thing. We trust our employer. We trust our teachers that they're going to grade well. We trust our coaches. You know, all these different things. Some of this transactional way we live, it comes down to a trust thing, that we trust each other. We trust that if I do something, that you're going to do something back. There's an interesting quote that I found by C.S. Lewis in the book Mere Christianity, if you want to put it up there on the screens. It says this: everyone has heard people say things like this: how would you like it if anyone did the same to you? Or give me a bit of your orange, I'll give you a bit of mine. The man who says this is appealing to some standard of behavior which he expects the other to know about. So we all are kind of have this thing in us that we expect things to happen. Now, we talked about kind of the positive. Now, there is a negative side to this whole conditional kind of thing we expect. Like, if you speed, you're going to get a ticket, right? Who's ever had a ticket here before? Anyone willing to be bold and say they got a ticket? Charlotte, of all the people. Sorry, can't believe I just called her out like that. Sorry, but not sorry. I have had a ticket, yes, myself. So, you know, the negative side is if you don't study, then your chances of getting a bad grade go a lot higher. If your team performs poorly, then you expect that you're going to lose. If you stink at work, then you're going to get fired and you're not going to have any money. You know, that's how it should work, at least. So, you know, and there's things like if you play bad in a game, then you're going to lose. Like the Steelers. Sorry, I had to say it. I'm sorry, I had to say it. I just couldn't help. I couldn't help myself. But if you're like the Ravens and you win, then you going on in the playoffs. You know, I couldn't help myself there. But for all you Steelers fans out there, you all hate me. Go to the next slide. But if you're really good, then you have 6 Super Bowl rings like the Steelers. Okay, so I hooked y'all up. You got 6 rings. So we just live in this very cause and effect conditional society. Now, I'm very interested like in psychology and how our brains work and why we do the things that we do. And so it's very interesting to understand that as we kind of start out in this like very conditional way that we live, is very transactional. If you do this, I'll do this. It's very interesting though how entitlement begins to creep into our thinking. We begin to think that we deserve things. We begin to think, well, if I'm a nice person, then I deserve to have people be nice to me. Or we begin to think things like, I deserve to have nice teachers. I deserve to have good teachers. Well, like, that's in a perfect world. We want everybody to have good teachers, but reality is sometimes we don't get good teachers. But we start to think, I deserve that. I know this is where a lot of y'all are, that are getting older, you're getting around that driving age. A lot of y'all deserve, you think, I deserve to have a car. And you're like, I deserve to have a nice car. You want another car you deserve to get? This one. Maybe. Is there a car in there? Picture of a car in there? There it is. You deserve to have this car. Ain't nothing wrong with having a beater when you get your first car, okay? That's an old, like, I think either a Civic or a Toyota Camry possibly. And there ain't nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with having a beater. That's what you deserve when you get your first car. Or you think, man, I deserve to get the nicest phone. Or it can start to think like this. I deserve to have a girlfriend or a boyfriend. Like, that's what I deserve. That's what I should get. We start to feel entitled. And the list can go on and on. And the interesting thing about feeling like we deserve things is we're really good at feeling like we deserve good things, whether we deserve it or not. But we also feel like we don't deserve bad things, even if it is what we do deserve. Does that make sense? Am I making sense there? Like, we're real good at feeling like we deserve good things, if we deserve it or not. And we're like, I don't deserve the bad thing. But on the flip side, aren't we good at thinking other people deserve bad things? Like, how often are we like, well, I know I did the same thing, but they did this, and really they should get in trouble and I should. Like, they deserve the bad things. So this entitlement and what we feel like we deserve. And so this idea of deserving things and entitlement, it flows into our spiritual lives, whether we realize it or not. And so I like to ask people this question. I love to ask people this question. If you were to die today, would you know you were going to heaven? And I'm always like, look, I don't want this to happen to you. Like, that's not what I'm hoping for. But if you did, would you know you were going to heaven? And so I get two responses. The first one is, yes, because I have been a good person. I get that response. That's probably the more common response. Yes, I've been a good person. And in my head, I don't say this out loud. Okay, there's a lot of stuff that stays in my head, thankfully. Every once in a while, a thing that comes out shouldn't, and that's when it's not good. But this is what goes through my head. I'm like, so you believe you're going to go to heaven even though you're a good person, even though you probably cuss maybe out loud, or you cuss in your head. You think terrible thoughts about people. You probably gossip. You probably lie sometimes. You might even steal. You probably lust. You harbor bitterness. But don't worry, you're mainly a good person because you've never murdered anyone. I mean, that's what people say. They're like, yeah, I'm a good person. I've never murdered anyone. I'm like, so that's the line for a good person. This is a very interesting standard we have here. But that's kind of how we work. We're kind of like, I deserve to go to heaven because I've been a good person. And we kind of make that standard up in our head. And the second response I get is, no, I don't think I'll go to heaven. And it's usually because I don't think I've done all the right things. I don't think I'm like on track with God right now. And I would say that's probably the more genuine answer if someone's really being honest. Because if we were to look at it from kind of a transactional way with God, then we'd probably say, I really haven't done enough good things. I know I've done some bad things. And so therefore, I don't deserve to go to heaven. So here's the issue. Here's the issue, is that there's bad news. There's really bad news. No one likes to hear bad news. But the bad news is that we have a condition, and it's terminal. And it invades every part of our lives. And most of you probably know what I'm going to say, but it's true. And that condition is sin. This is what Romans 3:23 says. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there's no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That doesn't mean like a few people. That doesn't mean like mostly everyone. It means like everybody that's ever walked this earth and ever will has sinned and is under sin. You can go to the next slide. This is what God's word says about sin, about our lives, where we really stand before God in this question of would we go to heaven. 3:9-11 says, what then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. We've already charged that all, both Jew and Greek, are under sin. It's written, no one is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. And then go to the next slide, 3:10-12-13 says, all have turned aside. Together, they have become worthless. No one's good, no, not even one. He goes on, he goes further in this, but he says, their throat's an open grave, they use their tongues to deceive, the venom of asp is under their lips. Like Paul in Romans, you know, we're walking through the book of Romans here, talking about what does faith look like in our lives. And Paul is like making it really clear in the first four chapters, we are all messed up. And that's the bad news. But then there's more bad news. And the more bad news is this, is that we don't have a way to fix it. Like, if you're like me, we like being able to fix things in our lives. Why do you think we love putting the best photos on Instagram? Why do you think we have whole other Instagram accounts to put the ones that aren't as cool? Because we love to control things. We love to have them look good. We love to be able to patch things up. But the issue is we have no way to fix our sin. We cannot cover it more up with good. Here's what Romans 3:19-20 says. Now we know that whatever the law says, that's the Old Testament law that he's talking about here. It speaks to those who were under the law so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. God says, I'm throwing it out there. These are the rules. If you don't live by these, I'm holding you accountable. He says, for by the works of the law, no human being will be justified or made right in his sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. So it's the interesting thing is he's saying, you can know all the Old Testament law. You can try to follow all these laws, but ultimately what this law is going to show you is that you're actually sinful. That's all it's going to show you. That's exactly what it's going to do, and that's what it does. Here's what Romans 2:12 says. For all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law, and all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. He's saying, if you're a Jew and you're under the law, it condemns you. It tells you that you're sinful. You're messed up. You don't have a way to get to heaven. And if you're not a Jew and you're not under the law, it's still saying you're going to be judged by the law because it's what we're all supposed to live to because it's God's standard. And here, this is where it gets even worse. I kind of wish this verse was in the Bible, but it is. James 2:10 says this, for whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of it all. And the reality is we all know, as much as we try to look good and make things look good, like we know we're sinful at our core. I mean, look, just look at the Ten Commandments. Let's just take a quick look at these Ten Commandments. I know it's kind of hard to see them. It says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. We probably have done that. We've never like had like a little statue in our house, but we probably have acted before like this thing is my God. Thou shalt not make any graven image. Man, have I ever worshipped football before? Probably. You know, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. I'm not even going to have us raise hands. We've all probably done that. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Have you guys remembered every single Sabbath day? Do you even know what a Sabbath day is? Honor your father and mother. I know you guys have never dishonored your father. You know what I mean? Like, we didn't even make it through all of them. And we've messed up on all of them. Right? Like, it is clear. It's clear from God's word, and the bad news is true, and we have no way to fix it, that we're sinful. And we try to do good. I'm not trying to totally down us, but we do have to understand this reality if we're going to walk through Romans, that Paul makes it clear that we're all sinful. We're accountable to God, and we've got no way to make it right. It would be like being in a courtroom and having all the evidence presented against you, and the judge would say to you, why should I not condemn you as guilty to life in prison? And you could give all kinds of answers, but ultimately the evidence is there, is that you are guilty. And sometimes I think a song sums things up more perfectly than I ever could. So we're going to like play a little short portion of a song, and then we're going to play some more. But I think the beginning of this song really sums up perfectly where Paul has brought us in Romans, that we're sinful without hope. So go ahead and run that for a second.
sorrow and dead in my sin. Lost without hope, no place to begin.
Right? I mean, that kind of sums it up. I could have just said that, but I wanted you to see the scripture of where it shows that we're at. Alone in my sorrow, dead in my sin, dead, separated from God, lost without hope, and no place to begin. I mean, that's it, that we're accountable, that we've got no way to make it right. We try really hard. The way I would say that we try to do it, if we give an example, is like I love to work on my own vehicles, and sometimes I'll be under there and, you know, you use this an old rag and you're wiping grease off or oil off or whatever you've been using, and it's all dirty, and it'd be like me saying, well, I'm going to go in my house with this dirty rag and I'm gonna try to clean the countertops off. My wife would be like, classic. But that's not going to do anything, is it? That's what happens when we try to say, let me just be good. Let me just do more good things to earn my salvation. So alone in my sorrow, dead in my sin, lost without hope, with no place to begin. And here's my main point for tonight. It's this. No one deserves God's faithfulness, but God is faithful to deliver it. No one deserves God's faithfulness, but God is faithful to deliver it. So check, we're going to listen to about a minute and a half of this rest of this song. So go ahead and play it one more time.
Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin. Lost without hope, no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested and my life began. Ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. And my orphan heart was given a name. My morning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace, so free.
I always want to know the bad news first. I'm like, well, that makes the good news usually a lot better. And that's what this is like. Like, the bad news is there, but then Paul makes a switch and he reveals the good news. And that good news is Christ. And it makes it so much more sweeter when you get the bad news that we're lost without hope with no place to begin, that we don't deserve God's faithfulness, but God would faithfully deliver it. So whether you think you're the best sinner or the worst sinner here, the reality is none of us deserve God's faithfulness, but he's faithful to deliver it. So I want to walk you through some scripture now to encourage you with how does the faithfulness of God play into how our own faith and how that is shows us the hope that we have. So go to Romans 3, 21 through 23. We are having technical difficulties. That is not in there, but that looks cool, whatever it is, the map of the Mediterranean Sea. Okay, I pray against the spiritual warfare in that computer right now. Romans 3, I'm going to open it up. Let's see. And if you got your Bible, turn there with me. Some of you brought your Bibles. I know you did. There we go. Romans 3, 21 and 22 says this. But the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. So it's saying, remember, the law can only show our sin? That's what, remember I told you that? The law can only show our sin? But he's saying, Paul's saying now, but the righteousness of God has been made apparent. It's been shown. It's come alive apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets, they told about it. They said there's going to be a Savior that's going to come in 22. And the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. It's belief. It's faith. The role of faith in our lives is that we believe in Jesus Christ as the one that could pay for our sins. That is the role of faith. That is the obedience of faith, that we take that step of obedience and say, Jesus, I believe in you. And some of you are like, man, I've heard this before. But the reality is, if you don't really understand how grace through faith alone is the foundation of your whole Christian life, then your whole Christian life is on a rocky foundation. So this is so core to who we are as Christians. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, that all would believe in Christ. This is the hope. Why? Because no one deserves God's faithfulness, but he's faithful to deliver it through Christ. Romans 3:24-25 says this, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation or a substitute, a payment by his blood to be received by faith. I see it again, received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness because in his divine forbearance, he's passed over former sins. See, Paul is saying, you've got no way to make yourself right, but guess what? I'm going to give it to you as a gift that's free. And this is a true story I'm about to tell you. I'm talking about a gift. And I think when we think about the gift of Jesus, sometimes it's so big, we have a hard time comprehending it. You know what I mean? Like, we talk about it a lot, but sometimes it's so big, it's so grand, it's so like, why would he die for me when I really get it? We can't fully put our heads around it. And I couldn't fully put my head around when someone unanimously, or not unanimously, what's the word I'm looking for? Anonymously, they sound kind of the same. Anonymously gave Wendy and I $10,000. It was such a big number that I almost didn't know. Like, is it real? Is it true? Is this what really rich people feel like? Like, you just got so much money, you don't even know what to do? I'm not making this up. Someone anonymously gave us this is about, five-ish years ago. No, it's about 3 years ago. Unanimously gave us $10,000. And the number was so big, it almost didn't feel real. And like, they didn't just give us like in cash, okay? You know, the way that they did it, we were able to know it was anonymous. But you know, I took it by faith to believe that it was real. And then you know what? I saw it in my bank account. I was like, it's real, baby. It's real. And that's how it is for us with Christ. He's like, I'm giving you my life as a gift. And if you believe, it will be credited to you as righteousness. It's real. And you know why? Because no one deserves God's faithfulness, but he's faithful to deliver it. Romans 4:3 says this, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. This reveals that Abraham reveals for us, it's by we obey by placing, you know, our mental faith, our understanding. We get who Christ is and we place our faith in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And our faith in Christ is what goes into our account to show we have eternal life. Our faith, when we believe, it's not because we can do anything. It's because he takes Jesus Christ and his righteousness and he puts it in our bank account. This is an online bank account. This is a picture right here of an online bank account. I think, but maybe we'll have, there we go. All good. This is a picture. This is not mine. This is just one that I found, okay? But when you look in there, when someone deposits a check, they're trusting that that is the real thing. And they ultimately go into their bank account and they see that it is there. And that's what Paul is revealing through Abraham back in the Old Testament, that Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness, not because of anything he did, but because he believed in God. And it's the same for us. When we believe in Jesus, that he's the one that died for our sins, it is then put into our spiritual bank account. God says, now I see Christ. What he did, his blood covers you. Why? Because no one deserves God's faithfulness, but he's faithful to deliver it. Here's my last verse for you, Romans 4:4-5. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Paul is driving home this point. This is not a transactional thing. That's why I started off and took a lot of time in the beginning to say, we live in a transactional way. That is our way of life. When it comes to our spiritual life in Jesus Christ, it is not a transactional thing, and it makes no sense in one sense. We can't wrap our minds around it, but it's true. It's fully grace. It means we have to do nothing but believe. And in that, we reveal our own humility and that role of faith, what the role faith plays in our lives. The faith is not in ourselves to get us to heaven, but it's fully what Jesus did on the cross. And you've heard me say it multiple times. I'm going to say it one more time. Why? Because no one deserves God's faithfulness, but he's faithful to deliver it. Always, every time, to every person that desires it. So here's kind of the question. Do you believe it? Are you still thinking you need to work for eternal life? If I would ask you that question, if you were to die today, I wouldn't want that to happen. Would you know you were going to heaven? And then I'd say, why? You know, how would you answer there? Have you taken that gift? Will you, if not, place your faith in Christ? And so I want to just end with this. And this is kind of really what I'm about to go through is the playing out of our faith in Christ. And this is what we're going to talk about for really the next coming weeks as we go through the rest of Romans. But this is really the core of Christianity, guys. If you want to boil down Christianity into one thing, it is that we can do nothing and Jesus can do it all. And that is okay. That's actually awesome. And you know what a lot of people would say? Christianity is really exclusive. Like, oh, you got to be this, that. No, I would actually say Christianity is the most inclusive religion there is out there. Why? Because Jesus said, you're all jacked up. And you all need me. And now we're all on the same playing field. It's to anyone that would believe. And so here's kind of the way this plays out. There's no more boasting. This is what happens like as we take our faith and we see how does it impact us. There's no more boasting because our righteousness has been credited. It's been received. That gift of $10,000 that I got, I can't boast about doing anything for that. I can only boast that it was a gift, that I received it. And knowing this allows us to begin living for God's glory. We have a hopeful humility about ourselves. You get that? Write that down. A hopeful humility. That's a good thing. A hopeful humility that says, I know I can't do it, but Christ can. There is hope there. Not only is there no more boasting, but there's no more cowering. What do I mean by that? We know we're sinful, but we know our sins are covered. We don't have our sins counted against us. Instead, we have God's righteousness credited to us. This gives us deep security and grateful joy. Do you see why this is so core to our faith? Not only is there no boasting, there's no cowering, there's a great identity. Why? And purpose? Because we're included in the great plan that God has in human history. As the children of Abraham who believed and it was credited to him as righteousness, man, we're a part of that storyline now. This produces a great purpose and understanding of what we are doing in the world. It gives us complete assurance when we realize our faith is in Christ and not in ourselves. The promise of inheriting the earth, of enjoying eternal life, it begins renewed in the world. It's of grace, and it relies on God's promise-keeping power, not on our performance. That's so cool. As you continue your Christian life, guess what? It's still not based on your performance. It's based on Christ. And lastly, we have hope when hope is gone. And man, do we ever need that right now. Hope when hope is gone. If you know some of the Old Testament stories, there was no hope for Abraham and Sarah. They wanted to have a child. They were both mad old. But guess the hope they had? The promise of God. And that was all the hope that they needed. We have no hope of eternal life except that God has promised that in Christ we will be made righteous. And so we can actually face the loss of things that we like and we'll have grief and we might struggle through things, yet we don't lose our hope because it's placed in Christ. It's all based on God's grace. So I just want to give you a minute. Haven't done this in a while. I just want you to bow your head. Man, with nobody looking. Man, if you were here tonight and you're like, you might have sat in this seat for years. And maybe you've just been going through the motions, or maybe it clicked tonight that you got it. That it is You don't deserve God's faithfulness, but he is faithful to deliver. And you realize you have to believe that it's no more of you working for it, that Jesus died on the cross for you to pay for your sins. If you've never believed that, and tonight you want to say, I believe that for the first time, that now I get it. My faith is credited to me as righteousness. If you believe that for the first time, I just want to give you an opportunity with nobody looking, just for you to say, yeah, I did that, to remember this day, January 13th, 2021, I did that. If you did that, if you just want to raise your hand with nobody looking, just to know, man, this is the night that I did that. I placed my faith in Christ. And for all of us, as we're here tonight, learn about faith, that we'd take this as the core and that we'd realize how much this plays into every aspect as we live and all the things that we do. But Jesus, we thank you for dying for us on our behalf when we had no hope, lost without hope, no place to begin. But your grace was free. Praise all in Jesus' name. Amen.